Well, greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. Since this is the Sabbath after Thanksgiving, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving, how we need to thank God, and how we need to understand that everything that we have, physical, spiritual, all comes from Him. And especially when you look at the development of this society in the United States of America and see all of our productive capacity and all of the things that we can do. I know to avoid a lot of the things on television, what we do, we watch Discovery Channel and Nat Geo. And I was watching how they made Peterbilt diesel trucks. And it's absolutely amazing. Everything is developed, precise, and they have the big frame. It takes 7.5 minutes at each station. And it goes down, all down the assembly line. And out the other end comes a Peterbilt truck that has a luxurious cab, sleeping quarters, television. It's all padded so the sound doesn't get in there. It's all air cushioned. So you don't get all the problems of old trucks where you bounce around and it would jerk you all over. I tell you, it is something. And then it showed the world's largest truck stop, 80 acres. And in it, they had every kind of food you'd want to buy, any kind of clothing you would want to buy. They had chrome trinkets, horns, bumpers, all of the accoutrements and things that you would to make a fantastic truck. And now they're converting trucks so that they are going to run on natural gas. And it will cut down their gas bill by 2/3. They'll be able to drive them for the equivalent of $1 a gallon. Compressed natural gas. And I think that's the way probably a lot of cars are going to go because they're going to put in those stations. And I got to thinking, here is this country, so blessed of God to fulfill the promises given to Ephraim and Manasseh. And we have, in every area you would want to go, we have equivalent of the superabundant, superabundant, superabundance. And we all realized that when we had Thanksgiving dinner. You know, you eat all you can do, and then you say, oh, I couldn't eat another bite. And then about 2 hours later, you come back and say, oh, where's the pumpkin pie and whipped cream, you know? Yes. And let's come back here to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, because this tells us something we always need to keep in remembrance. God puts us through the trials to know what is in our hearts. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us the best of everything, but how are we going to handle it? With thanksgiving or with spoiled indifference and demanding more? So God said that He put them all through the wilderness. Here's the whole key that God wants us to know. Okay, let's begin right here in verse 1. All the commandments which I command you this day shall you be diligent to observe. And today we're living in the age of half-heartedness. Okay? And to do that you may live and multiply, go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And now we're living in it. Deuteronomy 1, or 8 and verse 1 here, see. Okay? And you shall remember. After God tells us to remember something, what's the first thing that we do? Forget. Just like with Thanksgiving. Everybody says they're all thankful, but boy, they get up at midnight and storm out and they charge down the mall to buy everything they can buy. Even here in Hollister, Target opened at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, how's that for thankfulness, or is that greediness? Narcissism, self-serving, okay? And you shall remember all the way in which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, to prove you. Here's what God wants, see? We go through these things. This helps us to be grateful. This helps us to be thankful. And here's the key, to know what is in your heart. That's the test. What is in our heart? What do we believe? How much do we love God? How much do we really follow God's way the way that we should? Do we take it for granted and, you know, make church an oh-hum affair? Or do we pray every day? Do we study every day? Do we realize that in God we live and move and have our being? All human beings do, see? And that we have nothing we didn't receive. To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Now, just to give you an example, I didn't preach to the clerk there at the bank, cashier. I don't know why they call them cashiers, because they don't deal, well, they do deal in cash, not as much as they used to. But anyway, she said, well, how's your Christmas going? And I said, well, I'm really not into it. There are too many things that aren't true about it. And I said, I'm more into truth than into Christmas. She said, really? I said, yeah. I said, can't handle the things, you know, like Santa Claus is a lie, reindeers don't fly, and, you know, all of those different things. See, and she said, oh, I love Christmas. I love Christmas. And I thought to myself, how perfect is the deception that you enjoy it so much that you won't give it up? Even if you know it's a lie, even if you know it's from paganism, even if you know God says, don't do it. And then, just to show you, I spent a little time yesterday watching some television. Then I flipped up to MSNBC. So what was on MSNBC? What they had was this. The entrapper of men texting for underage girls for sex. And to show you the callousness of this one man. Now, all of them are pathetic, see. All of them are pathetic. But this one man, he came in, and the next day, no, 3 days later, he was due in court to be sentenced for the very same thing. And all of them say, oh, well, it was a mistake. Oh, I shouldn't have done it. All this sort of thing. See, they are not thankful to God. They have no control over their sexual behavior. And I gave the series Obsessed with Sex on Church at Home. And one woman sent me an email and said, that was a good series. I didn't know you were so up to date on what was happening. Some man texted me and sent me a picture of his junk, if I could use a terminology of, how should we say, official government fondling. Okay? Are we in Sodom and Gomorrah or not? See? Now, if you would ask every one of these people, does God have a commandment that says you shall not commit adultery? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why don't you keep it? Well, it doesn't apply to me. Whatever. See? So they're not realizing where we got what we have, and they're all consumed in their own lust. And you could go on with this with any field you would want to get into. Sports, basketball, football, hockey. What are some of the others? Soccer, ping pong. Yeah, there are ping pong championships, you know. Volleyball, all of them, okay? And they get so wrapped up in that. But do you think they would stop and keep the Sabbath? Do you think they would some honor God? They make a touchdown and they go, you know, like that, and point to heaven, you see. Well, did they go to church? No. See? What are they doing? to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and allowed you to hunger. Then he fed you with manna, which you did not know, neither did your fathers know it, so that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live. There is the whole key and substance. God wants to bless us based upon this. And unfortunately, because we received, or let's put it this way, fortunately, because of God's blessing to Abraham, we have received all that we have. Unfortunately, number one, we don't know who we are, the children of Israel, and we don't realize that God has given it to us, and we think, oh, because of our ingenuity and greatness, we can do it. Well, God has given us a long time, hasn't he? We've gone through many trials, haven't we, as a nation? Wars, civil war, depressions, all of these things. But can each generation learn the lesson and pass it on to the next generation? Or what happens to the next generation? They want to go their way. All right. Verse 4, your clothing did not wear out on you. See, no need to go to Target. Nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Everybody had hand-me-down sandals. And you shall consider in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord chastens you. No one wants any correction today. Oh, no. And you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him, because God wants to pour out blessings upon those who love him and obey him. Now, this is what he's looking for on the earth. And that's why Thanksgiving in America should be so good. Because we realize from the get-go through the Bible that God gave this land to us. Verse 7. Now what I want you to do is just think about contemporary America today as we read the next verses. For the Lord your God brings you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains of depths that spring out of the valleys of and hills, and of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you shall eat bread without scarceness. Have you had food rationing lately? Well, none of us have. Now, maybe during the Depression there were some things. Boy, you go back to the Great Depression, that was something. Dolores and I were watching the other night about the Dust Bowl there, especially in Oklahoma. The dust would come, it would be everywhere, in every house, through every crack, through every window. And they would accumulate dust in their lungs and get dust pneumonia, and thousands of people died, you know. All right, you see that, you think, oh, man. You know, that was way back when with those people. But what about us today? Can we learn from that? Can we sit down at Thanksgiving meal and thank God for all that we have here? Yes. Eat bread without scarceness. When was the last time you looked in the cupboard and there was nothing there? You shall not lack anything in it. Well, that's sure today, isn't it, huh? It is a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you may dig copper, and you can add gold and silver and all of the other metals and coal and oil. Now, here's a warning. Here's what we need to do. And I thought about this on Thursday after I got done eating, and I was stuffed full, was at the point, you know, couldn't have another bite of dressing and gravy, though it tasted good. Okay? And when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he gives you. And that's why on this Sabbath after Thanksgiving, we need to bless God for all that he's given us. Thank him for all that he's given us. Then he gives a warning. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command you today. And every day is today. Now remember the psalm which says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Psalm 95, and that's toward the Sabbath, see. Today, every day is today. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow hasn't arrived, today is here. And every minute of today is a new minute that you can use in a right way toward God. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his statute, his judgments and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and live in them, you drive the length and breadth of all the countries that are the descendants of the modern 10 tribes of Israel. And what do you have? All of this, everywhere. What kind of house do you live in? Goodly house. I remember watching a special some time ago. Medieval houses. What was that like? Walls of mud and stone, maybe some mortar in it. And in Europe, since it was cold because it was in the mini ice age, they had walls that were 2 feet thick. They had little teeny windows because they had no way of insulating. And what they had for heating was a fireplace, a hearth. And on that, it heated the house, cooked the food, and of course, you know, to have that for the winter. How many have gone out and cut down trees and stacked up the wood knowing that winter was coming and knowing how much you would need for that winter? They didn't have furniture like we do. Oh, today we can sit back in the lounge chair and, you know, have our big screen TV and maybe two or three of them, or we can take a big one, divide it down in, you know, if you're a real football fan, you can divide it down into every single NFL game going, and you go click, 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 click. You know exactly what's going on with it, and you're there, and you're eating, and you're drinking, and relaxing, and all of this sort of thing, and burping, and, you know. And when there's a commercial, you know what that is? Potty break! See? So there we are. Isn't that us? Yes, indeed. See? Build goodly houses. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, we've had that, don't we? I mean, every one of us here, everyone that can hear this, wherever it goes, to the modern 10 tribes of Israel, you could get up after Sabbath services, run down to the market, and you could buy a prime rib, chicken, turkey, goose, duck, some places goat, along with lamb. You can get milk, you can get cheese, you can get butter, you can get eggs, you can get bread, you can get fresh fruit, fresh fish, whatever you want. Do we have plenty? Well, we do. And your silver and gold is multiplied, and that's all gone, and now we have fake money. And all that you have is multiplied. How many people have so much and junk? Now, Dolores has a good way of getting rid of junk. Extra books or extra this, or because you accumulate it, you know. And I accumulate it, and Dolores tells me, you order another book? I probably get 10 or 12 books a year, and I read at least 10 or 12 books every year in addition to everything else that I do. So I've got books stacked here and books stacked there and books stacked there because I'm neat and I keep everything where it should be. My filing cabinet is where the stack is. So anyway, she has a good way to do it. When she wants to get rid of things, she sits down and she goes through a whole lot of stuff, good stuff, bad stuff, junk, and all of this sort of thing. And she says, is it a friend? That is, can I use it? Is it an acquaintance, something that's just hanging around? or is it an enemy? And if it's an enemy, she gets rid of it. And then what we do, we take it right down here to the Goodwill in Hollister, and they take all the stuff that was no good for us, and they turn it into something good for the destitute of the land. And you know, today, if you're poor, you live in a house, you have two or three televisions, you have at least one car, maybe two cars, you know, in addition to the food you have there, you have whatever money you may earn, you have welfare, you have food stamps, you have Medicaid, all of those things, so you're all taken care of. Today, our poor are like the rich 100 years ago. Okay, good comment. Comment was made that not all countries are like this. But it's amazing. Even those who live in a little tent or a little hovel or a little hut, guess what a lot of them have? Cell phones and televisions. So those who live in the other lands can receive the blessings of God if they do the same thing that God says here. But you also then have to take and superimpose all of that, the book of Proverbs, about diligence, about work, about educating yourself, about being honest, about serving, about helping, about taking care of your mind. All of those things are all in the Bible too, you see, because the Bible is the book from God to tell you how to live your life. That's what it is. Now let's continue on. Verse 14, and all that you have is multiplied, then you become haughty of heart, lifted up with pride. And you forget the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That's what has happened. That's why we have the book that is coming. Lord, what shall I do? And we have a little bit more that we're adding to it before we go to publication, so it's good that we didn't rush off to start publication right away. We may do it in a couple weeks, but there was an article about believers. Believers are the ones who are saying, we're leaving the church. We're leaving religion. And a lot of them don't believe in God, not because of God, but because of the conduct of the people who say they believe in God, whether sanctimoniously self-righteous good, which is hard to take, or hypocritical, that they have the same sins that everybody else has and they're not supposed to, or that they have so denigrated from the pulpit the Bible that no one wants to believe it anymore. See? And I'm convinced that they don't hate God as much as they hate religion. And like one man said, well, the Bible says true religion. Why do you have the series, Why God Hates Religion? Listen to the sermons. Listen to the sermons. Because true religion in James 5 has nothing to do with the heart and conversion. It has to do with the outward action. So you need to understand the whole book of Job, really, the whole purpose behind it, to understand that too many people take things which look good, that sound good, that takes parts of the Bible, leaves other parts of the Bible out, and they create a religion. And then what happens? They don't have the Spirit of God, and they can't meet the standard that God has given. See? That's what happens. So people get all angry and mad at God. Not God's fault. I bet every one of them has a Bible in their house. Maybe more. But when was the last time they read it? And even those who have the Bibles and know about God and read their Bibles, do you take it as such a blessing that you read it and study every day? Do you take the blessing that God has called you to pray to Him every day? All of those things are all included in this. Yeah, too much of Christianity is empty religion. It doesn't fill people. May make them feel good at first, but what they've discovered is as many people come into the church, the same amount or more leave. And it's hard to keep them in church more than 5 years. I mean, when you consider all they get is the same sermon over and over and over and over again with a few varieties, no wonder they get disillusioned and give up. So it shows this. All the good-intended people that use the Bible, as long as they're seeking God, because there are seven spirits of God that are seeking those who are seeking God, there will be blessings and benefits to a certain point as long as you keep seeking God. But then there comes a time when you stop. And when you stop, then that one of the seven spirits of God then leaves you and you're on your own and you wonder, well, what has happened here? And you really don't understand that you have been brought part way, but you have never been brought to the understanding of repentance and true baptism to receive the Holy Spirit of God. See? So that's what happened here. Then he says, all right, verse 16, let's come down here. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, so that he might humble you, that he might prove you, to do you good in your latter end. Think of that. Every trial and difficulty you go through, and God is doing it to prove you, to test you, to know what is in your heart. Do you really love God? Because that's the whole thing, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. Yes, indeed, true. See? To do you good at your latter end. And what is the greatest good, the ultimate greatest good that God can do? Not just the physical things, because the physical things do not accomplish spiritual things. See? You cannot have the love of God by owning something. You cannot have the joy of God by having something new. You cannot have the hope of God or the faith of God unless you love God and keep his commandments and have his spirit. And then the greatest good he can do is eternal life. And that's why we're here. Eternal life. Beware lest you say in your heart, and isn't this exactly what has happened? I mean, you listen to every one of these politicians and religious leaders about how we're going to recover from all of this. I have faith in the American people. Where's the faith in God? See? Beware lest you say, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. It isn't that what a lot of people say. We just need to go to our better self. Well, what is your better self? How long are you going to stay with your better self unless you have the Holy Spirit of God do what? Circumcise your heart and overcome the evil that's within. See? Can only go so far. You can discipline yourself and do so much. You can have rules that you follow, and yes, they are good, but does it lead to God? See, no. Verse 18, here's what we need to remember. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant which he has sworn to your fathers, as it is this very day. And it shall be, if you do at all forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods, serving them and worshiping them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Yes, perish. As the nations whom the Lord destroys before your faith, so shall you perish because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. So that's quite a warning. And it's good on Thanksgiving. We can say the Thanksgiving Sabbath because we have Thursday, Friday, and Sabbath, and we're still eating on the turkey, so we can include it all today. Okay. Thank God for it. There it is. Obey the voice of the Lord your God. All right, now let's look and see some of the things in the New Testament that are special blessings above this. Special blessings above the physical things. Let's come to Matthew 11. Let's see the spiritual blessings that we need to be thankful to God for and how precious those are. Matthew 11. Now, I think it's very interesting if we look and understand that God is doing something very profound in the world, not just fulfilling prophecy, and this thing on China is going to be bigger than we ever thought. Really, really is. Wait till I bring a sermon on that here pretty quick. But the publishing of the Bible and the number that are being published and the languages that they are being published in. Remember where I've said before in the past, God is not going to fulfill a prophecy to its bare minimum. He's going to fulfill the prophecy to its absolute maximum. So when he says, and this gospel shall be published in all the world, what does that mean to its absolute maximum? And if the return of Christ is going to affect everyone on earth, which it is God going to make it possible for every person to have a Bible so they will have no excuse? Think on that. All right. But for those who answer the call, many are called, but few are chosen. Let's read it here. Matthew 11 and verse 25. Here's something to really be thankful for. Above and beyond any physical thing you can think about or own or possess or devise, any amount of money that you could have in the world, think of this. Here's one of the greatest blessings to be thankful for. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to babes. That's what we are. We're the weak of the world. We're the offscouring of the world. But God has called us, revealed these things to us. See, it has to be revealed. You can study all the books in the world, but unless God reveals it to you, how's it revealed? With his Spirit and by his word. Yes, Father, for it was well-pleasing in your sight to do this. All things were delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, neither does anyone know the Father except the Son. Now notice this last phrase here. And I want you to think about this. And the one to whom the Son personally chooses to reveal him. Now that's something, isn't it? How great is that? This spiritual action in our lives, brethren. You don't have to worry about trying to be smart. You don't have to worry about trying to be wealthy. You don't have to worry about any of those things except obeying the voice of God, keeping his commandments, yielding to him, and to understand the most precious thing that has been revealed to us is who the Father is. Not something? And, as we're going to see, the relationship that we can have with the Father. I've covered that in several sermons here recently, you see. Okay? So here's what he says. Here's what we need to do. Verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are overly burdened, and I will give you rest. Okay? Rest from what? All the sins that ruined and destroyed your life before this was revealed to you and you repented. Take my yoke upon you, because he will give you his Spirit to carry it. And learn from me. Walk in his footsteps. Follow his example. Believe his words. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And boy, isn't that true? I'm going on Church at Home to follow up on From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. Why were you born? I'm going to follow it up with how fantastic it was what God, through the one of Elohim that became Jesus Christ, to divest himself of his glory, his power, and everything like that, to become a pinpoint of life in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and to be born as a baby, as a human being. So if you think that God's asking you to humble yourself, for you to put away the things that mean so much to you, think of what Jesus did and be thankful for that. Who did he do it for? for himself? No. He did it to save mankind. He did it to raise up his church. He did it so that there would always be those who would be called, who would be, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, through the Father, be qualifying because of the Father to eternal life. That is the greatest blessing of all. And then we'll see how we're to respond to that, you see. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back.